Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. And because I was off yesterday, we got basically 3 days of good, bad, and dumb to process. The good of the day, Ron Culver.
The good of the day. You know, I don't think I've ever said anything good about this guy. Or we've never had him in the good. But I got to. I got to. Because I don't know what story to believe, but I want to believe both. I got to give it to Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, okay.
So if you didn't know, The Athletic came out with a report yesterday that the Jets were deciding to go make another quarterback change, of course, and go back to Zach Wilson. But Zach Wilson's like, nah, I don't want to.
Yeah, that was the report. Right?
That was the report. Then Robert Saleh came out and said, no. Zach Wilson came to him and said he wants to play.
Right.
Either way, I love Zach Wilson right now. Well, The Athletic is right, I love the fact he was like, no, man, you guys,
I'm done.
You guys dished me for a third, fourth time. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, I must be an idiot.
Yeah, I'm out. No, I won't. Yeah, exactly.
Or if it is the other way, saying, no, coach, let me do this one more time. I think I can do it. You know, all power to you, Zach. I'm fine with you either way on this one.
You gotta think that you don't want to ruin your reputation by not playing, right?
Right.
Like, if you're like, look, just cut me. Let me go find another job. But also, you don't want to be in this position where it's like, guy, listen, it's clearly not working. Whatever it is, whatever you have and whatever I have, we're not a marriage together here. Like,
yeah.
It's not. You know, maybe I'd be better off with another coach, maybe another system, but this isn't working, right? I wonder. I don't know what the right answer for him is on this. Like, because, you know, we were always like, go play, be competitive. But at the same time, you're like, I'm killing myself every time going out there,
you know,
for this lousy team.
And for
I tried
him,
it
was,
didn't work.
And for him, it's a big tease this year because, remember, he came in and he was really good. And our narrative changed. We're like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe Aaron did get to him during the during training.
Yeah, they had like a 3-game win streak where he was playing pretty good football. And even the game he lost prior to the win streak, he played well against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, okay, maybe they found it. Maybe they found the click that works.
Maybe this is it. And then he slunk right back down into what we all remembered him as. And, you know, just the bleep show that he was as a quarterback. And we're like, nah, look at this. He can't do it. He can't play.
I was saying this earlier. You have Jake Browning last night playing like way better than a backup should, but
yeah.
I think we have to not accept backups who play like Tim Boyle, Zach Wilson, and Trevor Siemian. Like, that's enough. Like, find out reasons why Jake Browning was successful and try to replicate that with people that actually can give you a fighting chance. Browning not only gave them a fighting chance, he gave them a winning chance, like last night.
He really did.
Like, that game was back and forth. He hung with the – it wasn't like Lawrence got hurt in the second quarter.
No,
Lawrence got hurt late.
And that's the thing to point out is that with Browning, I mean, it wasn't that, you know, it was like, oh, it was backup against backup for 90% of the games. No, he was going toe-to-toe with, you know, the generational quarterback.
Right. And so even if you don't expect that, which is totally understandable, you shouldn't have a backup where the season is over. Like, you shouldn't be like, well, we have a backup and it's over. Everything's over.
Yeah.
Like, you should be like, no, we may not be Super Bowl favorites anymore. Like, I wouldn't put the Bengals in Super Bowl favorite category. Right. But make the playoffs. Why not? Like, why wouldn't I? If he's good enough to get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon's running the ball, why not? In the Jets' case, that's all they were looking for, to see if they could get Rodgers. That's all they wanted was, can you just keep the season alive? And maybe, even beginning of the year, when Rodgers went out, they were like, well, there's possibility he could come back by week 17 or week 18. If you could just get me to the finish line where we got a chance. And the three of them couldn't even do that. Like, that's.
I thought, you know, when Tim Boyle, I thought that was a mistake. But Trevor Siemian looked terrible.
Ugh.
I mean, he looked even worse. And I was like, wow, I did not expect that.
Exactly. So it's.
I mean, wasn't he the darling of Denver for a couple of, a couple of games? And
one of the many.
But that's why I said Zach Wilson, either story. I'm 100% behind you on this.
Yeah, I am too.
I secretly hope it's the Athletic story, though. That's true. But
I was it the Athletic or somebody had a
quote from the Athletic. It was.
I know I was going to ask you a quote in the story where an anonymous GM said.
Oh.
So an anonymous GM said, I think it was the Athletic, but it might have been another site I was perusing this weekend that said, "Hey, don't blame the Jets. We all were enamored with him at BYU in his pro day."
Yeah,
they said, "Look, the Jets didn't bust the pick. Like there were a lot of us thought he was as good as Trevor Lawrence coming out of that draft. His pro day. I remember his pro day being very, very good.
Oh yeah,
I remember that. I remember that story coming out that people went to the pro day and said that kid right there is going to be a star.
I remember
because he really dazzled.
Wasn't it something like it was like a 60 or 70 yard pass against his body?
Against his body. Yeah. Yeah. You know, exactly.
Throwing it the other way. Like
right.
You know, like that was what everyone was in, right on target.
So they were saying
nobody's on him, but
saying, don't blame the Jets here. But he didn't live up to anything.
No,
none of it. So God bless him. Good try. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is really the sad of the day, Tony.
Uh-oh, sad.
It's the sad of the day, and it came to us Friday night. And you can go on social media and you can find it. It was a video and a photo of all the Pac-12 mascots together one final time during the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, it was really sad.
It's a weird look, a weird thing to think about. Like you saw them all in the end zone, all 12 mascots just hanging out with each other, cheering on the game, celebrating the game. And you really looked at it, really, that for me, that hit me that this is over. Gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's no more. That was the final game in Pac-12 history.
All done.
And what a fantastic game it was.
It really was a great game.
But
it was a really, really great game.
It was the sad of the day.
We got in on Friday night. We flew in and picked up the rental car, went to the hotel, and then we grabbed a quick bite, and we were eating it in the hotel, and my wife, passed out. It was really early, too, and I don't know why. We didn't go back in the time zone. We were ahead in the time zone. But the whole day must have wiped her out because she got in bed and she just laid there. And I watched the game, and I just watched the entire game. Because me, I was like, well, I kept looking at my time going, well, it's only 10:30 Central Time.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm up. I'm not awake, you know. But it was – and I remember just talking to myself how – it was such a good game. This is the conference of Jackie Robinson. This is the conference that is of Bill Walton, of John Wooden. I mean, it is so important, and yet it was messed up. It got messed up in a larger process that they didn't navigate properly. And it's very, very, very unlikely to ever come back. I'll never say never, but if it does, it'll probably be 30 years from now.
At least.
It's not coming back overnight.
Well, because the problem is
those guys
be this.
Will not leave the conferences overnight and reform it again.
Yeah,
it's
the problem will be this is that, you know, all of your teams split up. I mean, they all went different directions.
They all went different places.
And so, you know, yeah, maybe USC and UCLA are like, you know what? It was really great playing, you know, on the West Coast all the time. But, you know, maybe they can't talk Oregon into it. Maybe they can't talk Arizona and Arizona State to leave the Big 12. Then that's the problem. Or Stanford leaving.
Well, you won't be able to convince them with the money, right?
Right.
When they're cashing their conference checks in the Big 10 and the SEC, and you're like, wasn't it fun when we got to play each other? And they're like, yeah, for nothing. And you're like, yeah, but wasn't it fun? Yeah, for you're going to match this?
Yeah, but look at this.
$60 million check I got for media rights? Like, are you going to be able to pull that off? No? Okay, then. Forget about it. Don't worry about
it. Just turning and go.
The problem is there'll be a generation that will come up that knows them only in the SEC or in the Big Ten or wherever they landed. And then they're like, well, whatever, Dad, that was your conference. This is not that anymore. So that's what happens. So it really is sad. Like, you know, you watch late night Pac-12 games. Now you'll be watching late night Big Ten games, SEC games, whatever it is. You know, that's what you'll be getting in the future. So
late night ACC.
Late night ACC is Cal and Stanford duke it out in Berkeley.
Yep.
You know, like that. That's it. Like, you know.
Or is it Clemson at Stanford, Florida State at Cal?
Big 12 after dark, right? Arizona and Colorado duking it out at Folsom Field on Saturday night at 8.
It's a weird, weird thing. It's going to be so weird next year.
It is. It is. But for that one moment.
And if you look at the college football playoff. Right? You got two Big Ten teams, two SEC teams. So you're all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done, Washington and Oregon. Put on a very good show.
There was another bet. It was a bummer. One of the things that bummed me out the most was that Georgia lost.
Right.
On Saturday, because that took away a Rose Bowl that would have featured the number one Big Ten team versus the number one Pac-12 team.
Now, that would have been cool nostalgia.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. That would have been neat to see. That's
one
of
final
my,
time, but I don't think we've had that in a while.
It was always my when I was a kid, the Rose Bowl was my favorite. It was so fun to watch that setting in Pasadena on January 1st in 6 feet of snow outside my house. But nevertheless, Keith Jackson and the big Cornhusker, the big Michigan, Ohio State, big bodies in the Midwest against like UCLA or USC. It was always fun.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're getting to the dumb and the good, the bad, and the dumb. Switch to Cricket and let your flip era unfold with getting an all-new extraordinary Motorola Razr for just $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket. All right, we did the good, the bad. We did two bads. Well, one sad, one bad. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. You know, Tony, as we get towards the end of the year, you start getting those lists or, you know, awards of 2023, if you will. So the Oxford Dictionary, which always comes out with its word of the year, has declared 2023's word of the year.
Which is?
Riz.
Riz. R-I-Z-Z?
R-I-Z-Z. Which is short for charismatic.
Okay. Got it.
That's why.
That's all it is?
It's short.
He's got Riz or she's got Riz.
Yeah.
That's it.
You use it in that sense where, you
know. Is that really a word?
Apparently, it's Oxford Dictionary is the dictionary to go off of,
yeah,
right?
Are they lowering their standards?
Of course they are.
Are they just satisfying the new culture of shortened words?
I think so, right? Yeah. Because it even says here, Riz, derived from the word charisma, refers to a person's ability to attract a romantic partner through style, charm, or attractiveness.
Just say charisma.
Yeah. No, that's too many syllables.
So, charisma, they just go Riz.
Riz.
Yeah.
Now, you got Riz.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Riz. All right.
Do you want to know some of the finalists are?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the finalists this year were Prompt.
Prompt.
Yes.
What
this is referring to is the instruction given to an artificial intelligence program that influences the content it creates.
Okay.
And that one actually made a lot of sense to me.
You're prompting AI to do something.
Okay. In this world of AI, you know, that would make a lot of sense for 2023. Finalist number three, I guess, is Situationship.
Situationship, meaning like you're in a relationship, but there's a situation to it?
Yes, sir.
I got it.
You know this.
Trying to figure it out.
And one of the finalists, and I'm really, really surprised this is not the word of the year, according to Oxford Dictionary. And if this is in the dictionary, we need to really have a talk with Oxford. It is the word Swifty.
Swifty? Now that shouldn't be a word. That's a fad. That's a phase. That shouldn't be a word. A word is something you should use. You could use from now on.
Right.
This word is so.
I knew this would anger you.
Because it's circumstantial. Like you can't use Swifty in any other context than Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
When Taylor Swift's dead, the word Swifty goes away. Right?
Oh, like, you just made a whole bunch of consumers mad.
No,
right
I
now.
Didn't say I was going to kill her. She's going to
die
like
dying,
every
Tony.
One of
She's
us.
She's living on forever.
I guess so in her music, I guess. But
well, I mean, you know, that I mean, you make a good argument. Is Parrothead in the Oxford Dictionary?
Right. Is Parrothead in the Oxford Dictionary? Is Kiss Army in the Oxford Dictionary? Is Deadhead in the, whatever it is?
Are they in the, yeah.
Yeah.
Fishhead with
Fish
a P.
Head, all those, right? Are those all in? I guess.
Now you have Swifty.
Now you have Swifty.
So those are your.
I don't like that one.
Yeah,
the other ones I get, okay, they're a little bit more. How come we don't how come the word of the day or the word of the year isn't a word that we have in the dictionary that no one was using on a regular basis, and then somehow we started using that word more and more and more, and somebody realized, I'll take the word cordially. Okay, does anyone ever sign their letters with the word cordially? Like, no one signs letters anymore, but when you type emails, right? Some people don't even put, there's a salutation and then there's whatever that ending is. Some people put sincerely Joe Smith, right? Thanks, Joe Smith. There used to be a time where people put cordially. Well, William F. Buckley famously would put that cordially. That used to be a term. No one uses it anymore. But what if out of nowhere somebody noticed Taylor Swift was signing her emails cordially, and all of a sudden a bunch of Swifties used cordially, then we could say cordially now is the word of the day, because it was in the dictionary, nobody used it, and then somehow there was a phenomenon in which we used it all the time.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's right. That's right.
I
was an English major, but I had to take a lot of English classes in journalism school.
In 2018, right? 2018, right. Oxford's word of the year, toxic.
Toxic.
So that was a word that's been in the dictionary for years, but then it got new meaning. It got new life with this generation.
That's right. Good point.
And so they start, toxic came back, and, this is toxic, that's toxic, you're being toxic, you're a toxic, it wasn't just an adjective anymore. It became useful. It became like almost a noun too. Opposed to, like in 2021, I'm looking at different words of the year. 2021 makes a lot of sense. We're a made up word that became something, which was vax.
Sure.
V-A-X.
V-A-X.
Because it does signify the times. I don't know how Riz signifies 2023.
There's a word I use a lot in talking about sports is the term penultimate. And I see it more and more now being used. I don't know why I've seen it more and more being used, but and more people are using it. So I'm like, maybe that's a candidate for word of the day. If more and more people realize, there is a word to describe the second to last of something. So you could use that, like something like that. Not made up stuff.
It's Ricky Bobby's least favorite word.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But that's why I don't like Riz. I don't like situationship.
I don't like those.
I don't get it.
This is terrible.
I don't get it. And yeah, Swifty.
So I have to tell you this. I have to tell you this a little story from my trip down to Florida it happened yesterday, to be honest with you. So my wife and I had a flight yesterday to come back home, and we went we're looking for a breakfast place to go to. So let's have a big breakfast. That way we'll just either eat at the airport or we'll grab something to eat on the way home. So we were in Orlando, and we were on International Drive, which is the big drive in Orlando. It has all this kind of hotels and stuff on it. And we went to a Perkins restaurant. And so we went in, and we sat down, and the waitress came over, the server came over, and her name was Wendy. And she gave us the menu. She goes, "You want coffee?" She brought out coffee. And her badge said Wendy, and then it said, "Since 1981. And she said, "I've been here 42 years. And I said, "At this exact location?" She goes, "Yep." She goes, "I started here when I was 21 years old. And I love what I do, and I've never left." And I said, I was fascinated with this woman the entire breakfast. I couldn't stop talking about it. And the only reason I couldn't stop talking about it is because I started thinking, wait. My first trip to Florida for a family vacation was in 1982. I remember the hotel we stayed at, which was down the road. It is very possible that my parents took me to this Perkins for breakfast when I was 10 years old.
Yep.
And it's not unreasonable to think that she could have waited on me at 10 years old.
That's very true.
Probably didn't happen, but it's not unreasonable that didn't happen.
I mean, you just happened to go the night she had off.
Right.
So,
either she was working nights back then. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't working breakfast. Who knows? But it's not unreasonable. And I really started to process this. And my wife was getting really annoyed, by the way. But I said, no. This is really fascinating.
Well,
she has been in one location for 42 years. There are thousands, if not, I don't know, I mean, people who have found that one job at 20, 21 and stayed there the entire time of their whole lives.
Yeah.
And I think that's phenomenal.
Now, what I'm sorry. What restaurant was it? You said Perkins?
It was Perkins, yeah.
So it was Perkins. Have you been to this Perkins before?
Well, I don't remember. Like, I don't remember where my parents took us. But to that
I'm not saying not even your parents. I'm saying just, you know, maybe with your own kids.
No. We have not, stayed there. No. So we had to actually map it. We were like, I said, well, Perkins is always good. You want to go there? She goes, sure. And we went to the GPS and found where it was. But I knew we were down, you know, I knew what road we were on. And I'm like, I remember staying on this road as a kid on our trips. Now, when we've gone down, we stay with my folks who've retired down there. So this particular one, and I said, this is really crazy. And I started going, I keep going, how many people, like, what has she seen? Like, the growth at Reagan's presidency, Clinton's presidency, recessions, high, low, the growth of the city, the different theme parks that have come in. She's been at that restaurant through all of it. And she said to me, she said, I have served people from around the globe. I've served famous people. I've served people from other planets, if you could believe that. And I said, I believe it. I believe it. Yes. We had a really great conversation. 42 years at the same restaurant.
That's impressive.
And I said to my wife, I said, she was here before computers. She had to write it all down and add it all up with her, you know, with a calculator or her own math.
Which was easy for her. It was probably harder for her to learn to push buttons and to trust this
probably,
and, you know, to go through all
probably.
That process.
I said, think about it. I said, honey, the breakfasts were $1.99, whatever it was back then, instead of $13 that it is
but
today.
You know, the hardest part of her job has been, right?
Which is?
Came in 2008, 2009, 2010 era, where she had to suffer from all the Tiger jokes.
That's very true. Sure, exactly. But wow, I just wanted to bring her up because 42, anybody who's ever worked at a place for that long at one location for 40 plus years, I just am blown away by your dedication.